Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
CBB.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's about what I would have expected.
Mm-hmm. How's it going with you?
It's warm. I ate a lot of chain restaurant Tex-Mex food, so I'm a little sleepy.
Chain restaurant Tex-Mex food, you say?
Yeah.
What is, pray tell, what is that?
There's a place here called On the Border. It's not really
on
Mexican
the border
food.
Yeah,
it's Tex-Mex. It's fine. Haven't had it in a very long time, and they were in the Grubhub app, and I'm like, hey, I feel lazy. Let's order some food.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how was it?
Ate a lot of food. It was good. It's large quantities of food.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. But it makes me a little sleepy.
Oh, well, that's just out of the norm for you.
Generally, I suppose. I've been all right lately. I mean,
well, you should be. You have a $450 espresso machine.
$430 espresso machine. Oh. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not overdoing it yet. I might be, but I'm not overdoing it to the point where I can really tell, unless I haven't eaten anything. Drinking coffee on an empty stomach is very different than drinking espresso on an empty stomach.
Yeah, I would say so too. Neither one of them are great to do in my personal experience, especially as you get older. Not that caffeine, I guess, has more or less of an effect necessarily in that regard, but just, I don't know, sometimes you don't want your tummy to be upset.
The tummy being upset and more about the jitters, I think.
Oh, yeah. See, I do get that too sometimes. But that sneaks up on me. I'm not very good at determining whether or not I have had too much coffee until
it's too late.
Until I'm like bouncing off the walls, and then I'm like, oh, oops. I guess I don't need to talk a mile a minute right now. So as you can tell from my current rate of speech, it's been a while since I've had some coffee. So, yeah.
A while, as in like an hour or two?
No, since this morning.
What kind of coffee did you have? You're a pour over guy, right?
Well, I was when I would make it in my private apartment. Someone else who I consume coffee with on a regular basis these days, says the pour overs are dumb. And so
conceptually they're dumb.
Yeah. And a waste of time, waste of effort, blah, 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 blah.
Is this because there's no appreciable difference between the coffee that comes out of a pour over and the coffee that comes out of a machine with a button on it?
According to this person, I would say that there's a slight difference, but, we have a coffee machine, and it's one of the fancier coffee machines. So it's not like my the difference between my pour over and my Mr. Coffee. This is the fancy schmancy Technivorm Mocha Master, that one of those things, which is sort of, they say, simulates kind of like sort of pour over thing, because you got the cone funnel thing at the top, and it's like pouring the water from the different points on the thing, not just dumping it all at once. But you know, it doesn't like bloom the coffee or any of that, you know. Mm-hmm. You like to bloom your coffee?
I do not bloom my coffee.
They say it makes a difference in taste.
Yeah.
Extract.
Well, I mean, according to your English friend on the YouTube, in the espresso world, that's called a pre-infusion.
Dad, do you want to explain to our audience who your British friend is, that you somehow allowed into your life to persuade you to purchase an espresso machine?
I will explain that this is all your fault, to be honest, perfectly honest with everyone. We're all internet nerds of a certain brand, and we all like our AeroPresses and our pour overs, And one day in this various Slack that Joe and I are both in, he's like, "Hey, take a look at this guy. He did a video series on AeroPress. Hey, you know what it's all about and how you use it and stuff. His name is James Hoffman, and he's a delightful little Englishman who wears sweaters, or as you like to call them, jumpers, a lot. And he knows a lot about coffee. And he's very fun to watch his videos.
Also, it's really important to point out that he has a ridiculous rainbow colored metallic chrome spoon thing that he uses. Yes.
For his tasting.
Yes, for his cupping spoon. And he uses to do the tastings, and he'll do things like what is the name of it, the ABA or whatever test, where
the bowl test, where you do the two of one type and the third of another type, so you can't really tell.
Yeah, and then you do you have the same thing reversed in the other three, and then you run those two against each other, so that way you can eliminate whether or not it was a fluke that you picked the one that you picked.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's very scientific about a lot of these things, but you know, he also has, he's got a well-informed coffee palate and scientific knowledge to back it up. You dropped in some of those links, and as I do, I say this is stupid. I don't want to watch anybody's AeroPress videos because I know how to use my AeroPress, and I don't give a crap what this guy says. And to a certain extent, that's fine. Like, I watch his AeroPress videos, I'm like, oh, interesting. Because people use the AeroPress in a way that I don't use the AeroPress. They're like, oh, you know, you only need 14 grams of coffee here and a lot of water, and that's not how I make coffee. I make it extra strong because I like extra coffee with my coffee. But the man was interesting, and I kept watching some of his other videos. And then I was like, oh, interesting enough. I like coffee. It's kind of a hobby. Like, it's one of the few hobbies that I have. Like, I don't go places. I don't hang out with people. And I play on Twitter, and I enjoy coffee. So there was, a week or two ago? I don't know. I was just bored or something, and I just, like, put, like, 8 of his videos in a row in a queue on my TV while I was laying on the couch, and I enjoyed them. And then there was one where he was like, hey, let's see if we can build an espresso setup for less than 250 pounds. And I was like, well, that seems interesting because I enjoy espresso. And I would be willing to sacrifice a modicum of money to have espresso in my home. And he's like, oh, yeah, here's this machine. It's very popular. People like to modify it a lot. There's a lot of forums and people talking and accessories and stuff for it. And I was like, interesting. That sounds like the kind of thing that a beginner like me could purchase and then continue to tweak forever as a hobby and just play around with and have fun. And then I kept watching, and it seemed easy and attainable. Well, not easy, but it seemed reasonable. And then I looked on the internet, and it's like, well, you know, it's on Amazon Prime for $450, and it'll be here in a day and a half or whatever. So I bought it, and then a couple accessories. And then it arrived, and I was like, well, I really need that accessory. And I bought a couple more accessories, and now I have a lot of little tiny bits and pieces and bobs and things. I've had it for 2 days, and I already have a workflow and a process and things that I'm tweaking, and it's very fun. It's very enjoyable, and it produces espresso, which I enjoy. It's an ongoing project that will continue into the future, because I have things to try and do.
What are the accessories you've already purchased for this?
Well, I got a new scale because I had one of those very basic, like, giant kind of teardrop-shaped food scales that doesn't have any decimal places, and it's very stupid. That's what I just had a long, long time ago. I never really used it because I never really weighed things because I was just like, I use the scoop that came with my espresso, and that's all I need. I can wing it. But with espresso, you really got to be a little bit more specific about your measurements. And you're also supposed to put it, like, there to measure the output of the – put it on the little drip tray to measure the output of the thing. And you definitely couldn't do that with the thing I had before. Let's see, what else did I buy? I bought a little tamper because the espresso machine comes with a plastic tamper, which is laughable.
Did you buy the replacement basket, as James Hoffman frequently recommends?
I didn't buy the one that he prefers. He bought some other one that was very similar just to keep his price down. And I found some other websites that recommended this other one. And it was on Amazon Prime. So I was like, yeah, whatever, fine, this one. So I bought an IMS Barista Pro or whatever it's called. It's 20 gram basket to slap in there. And, by all accounts, that is a very, smart thing to do, because the ones that come with it are pretty damn crude, but this one's nice. It's got shiny colors and stuff on it, kind of like his fancy spoon. So I got one of those, and then it turns out that getting ground coffee into the little portafilter is way harder without spilling it everywhere. So they make these little aluminum rings that you can stick on top. It's just like a little tiny funnel to keep stuff in the center while you're pouring it. And that was like $5. And then, you know, on and on and on from there. Mm-hmm. You know, little bits and pieces here and there.
Do you have the
Spring Mod setup is coming from England, which is not on Amazon. So that'll be here at some point. So it's still rocking the factory 12 bars of pressure. Which, you know, is apparently too much, but whatever.
So you're going to open this, void your warranty, and change the pressure?
The spring, yeah.
Okay.
You just take a spring out.
You take a spring out. Yeah, it's
you take easy. A spring out and you put another one. You buy a $15 kit, and you get a nine bar spring, a 6.5 bar spring, and a 5 bar spring.
You're not worried at all about this electronic pressurized water thing exploding?
No, if you can look at the video or the stills of it, where it goes, it's just like one of the little tubes that sucks the water up and then spits the water back out. It's just a little plastic guy in there that you just unscrew and there's a little spring in there.
Okay.
It seems incredibly easy. I did a surprising amount of research ahead of time about all of this to see just how easy it actually seemed. And there are a lot of people on the internet as dumb or dumber than me who are doing this. I was like, well, I'll give it a try. And, you know, frankly, if it all goes horribly wrong, I did look on eBay to see what the price of these used ones are going for. And it's very confusing. They're all basically the same price as a new one, or some were even more expensive, which doesn't make any sense to me, but fine, whatever. And also a used coffee maker kind of grossed me out a little bit. So I didn't want to buy a used one, but presumably I can sell this for most of my money if it ever comes down to the fact that I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. So it really, it's an investment.
It's not an investment. It's a coffee maker. Makes coffee. I put money in and it makes coffee. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, since I wanted to play with it immediately, I'm using the wrong coffee in it for sure. And my grinder is just on the edge of not really being able to make espresso ground. So it's fine for now, but it's certainly not. It's not dialed in yet, as they say on the internet.
Mm. Yeah. I was curious about what beans you were going to go with. And I believe you said that you were just getting whatever it was in your shipment from the terrible water thieves and, slave labor people.
The Dasani Corporation, aka Blue Bottle, mails me two bags. Well, previously they've been mailing me two bags of coffee every other week. I changed it to one bag of coffee for my AeroPress and one bag of espresso coffee, which will be here, I think, on Monday. But in the meantime, I had some leftover AeroPress coffee from like 2 weeks ago. That's really all I have. So I've been using that. And surprisingly, it's not terrible. It's got a little bit more of that tart sourness than I think it probably should because it's such a light roast. But, you know, it's tasty still. Yeah. I got espresso in my house.
Yeah.
It's very I flick fancy. Some buttons on a shiny metal thing and the espresso comes out.
So is it impressive to the other people in your home?
Amanda has been following along with some amusement. She's interested in in the process and the procedure. She thinks it's fascinating what I am doing. She has not yet partaken because she's not currently drinking coffee. She's trying to reduce some caffeine consumption. Mm-hmm. She will. She'll be back, I'm sure, very soon. Probably by the time I get this whole thing figured out, hopefully. And, it hasn't been met with eye rolls, if that was the concern.
Yes. That's primarily what I was trying to get at.
No, it's an experiment. Everyone needs hobbies and, you know, a little bit of a morning ritual. This one's kind of a fun ritual because you're flicking buttons and you're moving stuff and you're grinding things and you're pushing on the thing and your water comes out and it's all hot and you clean the thing and it's fun. Honestly, it doesn't take more time and is not really more complicated than an AeroPress setup. It's just enjoyable.
Well, that's good. I know when we had texted earlier, you were having some difficulties with your frothing your milk.
Oh yeah, I haven't even tried again since then. I tried it once. It was a debacle. Mm-hmm. I've since watched some additional YouTube videos of a lot of there's a lot of people out there like the instructions tell you to do this and really that's BS. You got to do this to get the best out of it, and then they go do their stuff. And you're like, I don't think that's actually how that works, but whatever. As long as it works for you. But I watched a strange man in his kitchen make some good looking milk. So I think I have some ideas for the next time, but I don't really put a lot of milk in my drinks. I never put milk in my AeroPress coffee. So it's just black coffee and straight espresso around here.
Oh, well, you haven't tried the milk that guy made in his kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. I did not buy one of the little frothing pitchers, even though they're, you know, 15, 20 bucks or whatever. Maybe at some point when I feel the need to learn how to make fancy art or something, I'll get one of those, but I'll just, you know, I'll fill it up in like a Scooby-Doo coffee mug and do it in there.
Yeah. A former, supervisor of mine from Sony, he posts on his Instagram stories all the time of, the latte art that he's been making.
It's nice.
Some of it's very elaborate and interesting, and then some of them are less successful. But you know, it's a process. So when you start doing that, post them on the internet, and I'll give you feedback.
First of all, I don't even want to make lattes. Like, that's too much milk for me. Like, cortada's fine. I like that. A little bit of stuff. Maybe try to make a cappuccino. Go old school 90s style. Mm-hmm. But
one of those little like heart shaped leaf things that people do.
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, you know where they make they do like dots, so that they're like in concentric circles, and then they drag the final.
Yeah, thing. You do the line through. Yeah. That's your standard. I don't know if there's a name for that shape. That's your standard sort of latte art there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing about the way most of this stuff is set up is, you know, the dosing, like what comes out of this thing is theoretically a double shot of espresso, but you know, people, it's got the little two spouts. You can split that and you can turn that into multiple. I don't know who's drinking a single shot of espresso. That's not even going to make a blip on the radar for me over here. So that's, the coffee to milk ratio has to be dramatically different than the kind of thing you would use for something like that.
Did you buy fancy espresso cup yet?
No, but amazingly, I did not throw out one. My parents were cleaning out their cabinets. They briefly had an espresso maker in the 90s.
One of those little tiny countertop ones with the glass carafe.
It was a tiny countertop. I don't really remember what it looked like. It was small-ish and black, but they maybe used it like twice ever. It was not a notable fixture in our kitchen, but they had these little black espresso cups, which are, you know, not small single shot espresso cups. You probably saw them in the photo I posted, but they come with the saucers they came with are black and white checkerboard. They're the tackiest looking things ever, but I didn't throw them away. I've had them in the closet for years, and I was just like, you know what, I think now is the time to bring them out and use them, and they work just fine. They fit perfectly around the little spout coming out of the little portafilter there, and that's what I've been using.
Yep, you're all ready to open up your coffee shop now.
Yeah, exactly.
1992.
Exactly. I love how terrible it is, and I feel like I've already used these cups more than my parents ever did. So, right on track. The important thing with recycling, it's the reuse where you really get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah. Jason has a collection of various espresso cups, and the justification is always that, you know, it's just two espresso cups; they're not that big. But then we have a lot. A cabinet full of them, and most of them.
Like, what's a lot?
More than 16.
Oh my!
And a lot of them are hand wash only. So it's not fun, really, when you think about it. But he also has this. What are they? I think they're IKEA. But they're hollow, like what was it called? Double walled. Stainless steel espresso cups with a little double-walled stainless steel espresso saucer that pairs up with it. And it's itty bitty. So you can put a shot in there from the Nespresso machine that he has, and you can't put anything else in it.
He has an espresso?
Yeah, an espresso. Is in not
those are good
espresso.
If you like the taste of stale coffee.
They're so stale and so bitter, so burn tasting.
Yeah. We were in a mall back mm-hmm. when, remember malls? We used to go to malls. Mm-hmm. There's a big Nespresso store in the Scottsdale Mall here. And they're like, come on in, we'll do a tasting. You can try the different things. And we went in, and I was like, yeah, you know, I usually like medium or lighter roast. And he's like, oh, here's a medium one. I was like, no, that is burnt to a crisp. If that's your medium, let's go down to the light there. And they eventually found a light that was tolerable. And it was fine. It was just stale.
Now,
because it's pot.
Yeah, and the other thing with it, there's a fancy store here on Beverly, which is the street next to Rodeo in Beverly Hills, and you know, they have the little cafe in the front where people like to go. And I don't know why. It seems not, if you're gonna go through the effort of going to a cafe to have your coffee, why pick the one where it comes out of a pod? I don't understand that, but it's one of those convenience things for a lot of people.
Well, the weird thing that I discovered about this machine is it comes with three different little filter baskets, a single shot, a double shot, and then one that is, there's the double shot. There's the double shot that's built for people who don't have good grinders. So it's got like this extra little pressure thing in there. So you can just throw literally whatever coffee in it you want and something that looks like espresso will come out. But it also has this little single, really shallow looking one where you can put a pod in. I'm like, what? Who's buying a $450 espresso maker and putting espresso pods in it? That sounds like the dumbest and worst possible idea.
Oh, well, you can buy a purpose-built Nespresso maker that costs over $450. DeLonghi makes their Nespresso pod machines, and they, I think, get up towards $1,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Jesus.
That's one of the other things that I never really understood about Nespresso is it's like, okay, so here's the lowest low-end one, and it makes a pod. And here's the highest high-end one, and it makes a pod. And it's like, well, which one would you buy? Like, why would you buy the super expensive one? It's like, oh, well, that one has, you know, a larger tank. It's like, well, does that matter?
And it has a second tank for milk or something.
No,
I don't know.
Well, some of them will have an attached milk frother if you get the really expensive ones, but usually they just sell a separate milk frother thing. Jason has one of those too.
Of course.
It is not worth the effort, in my professional opinion, but I don't know. I'm not somebody who really enjoys having froth milk in my coffees. So
yeah. No, I mean, I don't object to a small amount of milk for, you know, the occasionally slightly sweeter, more palatable coffee drink. But yeah, a latte is too much milk, generally speaking, for me.
Yeah, well, like when.
To quote somebody who is no longer on the internet, I don't want a big glass of hot milk.
No. When we were in Italy on our trips, if we walked by a bar where they sell coffee, I would grab a macchiato, which very different from what happens if you order a macchiato in the United States of America.
You're talking about like the 20-ounce plastic cup full of ice with caramel sauce and a little bit of coffee and a lot of milk.
Yeah, but in Venice specifically, like you'd get basically what was an espresso shot and then just like a dab of like you know, milk foam in there, just because, you know, it's supposed to be like what is it, stained with the milk or whatever, and that's why it's called macchiato. Anyway, it's fine, because that's not too much milk, but it is just enough to cut some of the bitterness of the very heavily roasted Italian coffee that you would get from the espresso over there. But, you know, as we discussed, my coffee beverage of choice is not really hot coffee at all.
Iced coffee and or cold brew.
Yeah, well, cold brew is very different from iced coffee.
Yeah, I know, but those are the two things you enjoy.
Yes. But it's tough. It's tough liking those things, because if you go to the wrong place and you order that stuff, you get screwed. But I was in luck when we were traveling recently, because we saw my family in Tampa for the first time in forever, because we were vaccinated. Everybody's vaccinated. So we were all just, you know, a little freaked out at first of being like, well, we're here. I guess we'll take the masks off inside of the house now. But we did all that. And then later on, after that, before we got back on the plane to go to Los Angeles, we took a couple days and were at Disney World. And that was a bad choice made by somebody else. But we were at a hotel and they had cold brew there in the hotel at a little coffee shop thing. And it was actually good cold brew. And so I thought it was fantastic that they had that. Unfortunately, the ordering process did not go very smoothly because they had nitro cold brew on tap and then they had regular cold brew on tap. And Jason's order is that he likes to have nitro cold brew, but with ice in it. And nobody wants to do that because the whole point is you're supposed to have these tiny little frothy bubbles that's supposed to be like a Guinness. So they don't like to put ice inside of it. But
I love a nitro cold brew. I tried to order one at a place a couple weeks ago and they're like, yeah, it's out. You want regular cold brew? I was like, I guess I'll just be sad regular cold brew.
We tried to order it and nobody really wants to make it that way. And so kind of threw the lady for a loop and she filled it up halfway before I was like, ice. And then she's like, oh yeah. Then she got a cup, started putting it in, on top of the half full cup and then started putting the rest of the, pouring the rest of the tap. And then she ran around for a minute with the cup that she had used to scoop the ice, trying to figure out what to do to like grab another cup or something. And I couldn't tell what she was doing. And then she finally just gave me that cup filled with ice again on the side next to the other cup. And was like, here you go. Sorry. It's extra ice for you. And I said, no, no, it's okay. I don't want extra ice. The amount of ice you put in there is absolutely fine. And then she was not understanding that I didn't want to have just an extra cup of ice, to carry with me. So,
That's interesting.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where I like cold coffee. And I personally don't really like nitro that much. I thought it was the neatest thing when it first came out on the scene. And I was ordering it a few years ago. And then
comes out of a tap.
Yeah.
Like a beer.
And then I was like, oh, I don't actually like this. I drink it too fast. And then, I don't feel very good. So I need something that I'm going to sip it a little slower. Like, with ice in it, so I
you don't sip that slower. You can drink that even faster.
I think I sip it slower when it has ice in it because you know you get the ice and you got to move the straw around in there and stuff, and you got to wait for that. You know, the ice kind of melts and dilutes it a little.
But drinking coffee,
the nitro
cold
brew is just so concentrated.
Well, good. Don't you want to be awake?
I
just want to feel alive.
Well, as we discussed, you know, I have a sensitive stomach sometimes. An enormous, like, 16-ounce thing of pure caffeine is not always going to sit well with me.
Well,
so,
yourself a muffin or a croissant while you're up there and then eat that while you're waiting.
I guess. But anyway, regardless, it's fine. I like cold brew. What I would really and I bought a cold brew maker, and as we've discussed, it's just kind of annoying to clean it, and you really need to have a complicated filter set up in order to get all of the little itty bitty gritty parts out of there. Otherwise you get sediment at the bottom and nobody really wants that, and it takes up space in the fridge, and then you're just like, meh.
How dare your coffee maker that's making you the coffee that you want take up space in the refrigerator?
I know, but one thing I have found this past week after we came back and I went to the grocery store was there is a brand of sparkling water that has 30 milligrams of caffeine in it from black tea, and it has a slight peach flavor to it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's as a side note, it is currently I don't know what the season is, but it is currently edible peaches in the grocery store season, and I have been very much enjoying that lately.
I haven't seen them yet out here, but I anticipate it soon. I get so disappointed with peaches, like you said, edible peaches.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing to get
sometimes it's hard to tell. You'll get one that feels about right. You take a bite and it's peach scented styrofoam, and other times it your arms are covered in peach juice, which is just delightful.
Well, sometimes, like you said, like peach scented styrofoam, where it's got that mealy starchy texture to it.
Yeah.
But other times, you'd be like, oh, this seems ripe, and then you bite into it and it's just like, why is there no flavor at all? It feels ripe, but it doesn't taste like anything. So I've had a couple of those experiences, and I haven't really enjoyed that at all.
Peaches are heartbreaking. Maybe maybe there's a, is there a YouTube channel where a delightful Englishman will tell us how to acquire and enjoy peaches?
I don't know. Seems
like a fussy hobby.
Well, it's extremely fussy hobby, but for that, I wouldn't turn to an Englishman. I would look to the President of the United States.
The band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Millions of Peaches. They should have some kind of authority on that subject.
I had that CD.
It's a good song.
I cracked the case of that CD cover. I have, it's one of those childhood memories that, is so visceral to me because it was so stupid and so specific to my life that I will never, ever forget. Broke the case.
Oh, wait, the incident where the case was broken is what you remember, or the song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all of it. I mean, okay. I remember them, but the incident where I broke the case. You have a lot of arbitrarily gated neighborhoods in Florida where you grew up, or is that just mostly around here?
No, I mean, it varies. Not where I lived. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a lot of... I don't know, it's just like three blocks or whatever, or like three little small, circle areas of house. I guess it's a block, whatever. But my friend Luke lived in one, and I took the CD over to his house one day on my bicycle after school in elementary school. And the gates are open in the daytime, but on the way out, they were closed because it was, sun was going down. And for some reason, I thought, well, maybe I'll try to activate it with my bike, and I'm not heavy enough, like a car, to activate them. So I was like bouncing the front tire of my bike up and down on the ground, trying to make it open, and I was holding the CD case in my hand, and I just basically broke it in half. And the gate didn't open, so I had to, sort of slide underneath it on the hot asphalt with my bicycle and my cracked CD to go home.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a bummer.
Never forget that. I still have that CD around here somewhere, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a CD player. Who has CD players?
No, I mean, I have things that can play CDs, but they're not hooked up to anything, like power or speakers.
Oh, yeah, I guess I have a Blu-ray player somewhere. I have no idea where.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have several DVD players. One funny thing is when we saw Jason's parents a little while ago, and they had an extra DVD player, and... his mom was trying to give it to us, and we're just like, we don't need it at all to play anything ever. We have two. We don't need a third DVD player to just have in a museum. But it's one of those things where as time marches on, we're all gonna have tons of DVD players. Because there was I remember when in college, like all of a sudden the $60 DVD players were a huge thing that you could go get at like Walmart or Best Buy or whatever, just the real cheap ones. And you could just buy that and then go buy like five of the bargain bin, whatever movies that had come out on DVD, or a couple of the two packs or whatever. And then you'd go take that home and then you'd have tons of entertainment, for your evening.
You just put a little plastic disc in the thing and then it plays.
Yeah, but we don't live in that sort of a society anymore. So we don't really need to have several DVD players.
A society based on physical assets and optical media and things?
No, it's just a bunch of stuff we don't own and we pay people money every month for.
It's all streaming services and cryptocurrency. Back in my day, we used to be able to hold a shiny piece of plastic and try to clean the dust and scratches off of it so we could watch our Truman Show or whatever.
Don't forget the toothpaste.
I never put toothpaste on. To be honest, I never really scratched anything bad enough to require that sort of a hack.
No. I was very, very careful with my DVDs.
I can't imagine that at all.
Mm, yeah. But my
Did you insist on being the one to put it in too?
No.
So people wouldn't do it wrong?
I mean, that was not really an issue.
I would love to have seen if you growing up in the era of vinyl, how fussy you could have been with making sure it doesn't scratch and stuff and keeping it clean.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably part of the warmth that people would like to experience. But with the DVDs, my biggest problem was I would take the DVD out of the DVD player and be like, ah, crud, I don't want to go dig up the case for this one. I'll just put the DVD I want to play in the DVD player, and then I'll put this one in that case, and then I'll remember.
No, you were one of those?
Yeah, and I was like, then I'll remember later to swap it, so because I don't want to do it right now. And spoiler alert, I have...
Why would you put the empty case back on the shelf? Just, like, leave it by the DVD player?
Because then it's just cluttering stuff up.
But it's, like, it's your DVD mise en place or whatever. Like, it stays there while you're doing your thing.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, Dan. I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't really impact my life very much at this point.
Wow.
Because, surprisingly, I can't put the Netflix movie in the wrong case or anything.
Give you one remote control with a reasonable touch circle and buttons, and you're just abandoning, your origin story.
I mean, I don't really feel like physical media was a huge part of my origin story. I didn't even own a Blu-ray player or an HD DVD player like you did.
I still got one. I still got this. It's in the garage. It's probably been ruined by the heat, but it's still in there.
Yeah, I know. And you still have mint condition, never been opened HD DVDs in their shrink wrap
and Blu-rays. I think I got like a double disc special edition of Taxi Driver on Blu-ray that I've never opened.
I've never seen Taxi Driver.
I think I've seen it once or twice.
Yeah,
it's you'd hate it.
So what would, if you've seen it once or twice and you seem kind of ambivalent about it, what possessed you to buy the Blu-ray of it?
Oh, it's a classic movie. It's a great movie. It was on sale. We were saying. You ever walk into Best Buy and they're like, special double commentary movie that is really good, or what? I was like, ooh, Casablanca or something. Like, I don't know. Just you buy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Impulse purchases.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Time was.
Back in my day. feeling so old these days. I feel everything makes me feel old.
Yeah, yeah.
And, the weirdest thing about busting out the tacky 90s espresso cups or whatever from my parents, I was thinking back. I was like, I was, about, I don't know, maybe 8, 9, when they had that thing in that particular house. And looking back now, they were probably my exact same age. And it's like, is this just like a late 30s thing where people just decide, like, hey, I'm gonna get into espresso in the house now. I'm gonna be a fancy lad, make my own fancy coffees.
Yeah, I mean, this could be the starting phase of a midlife crisis.
I feel like I should learn from that and analyze what came afterward in my parents' life to see what I have in store. So I'm gonna be buying some very costly expandable dining room table, some very ornate, polished walnut dining room table.
You could have people coming over. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, you don't use that table unless you're having like a big event. That's just for show. I think that means a Lazy Boy is in my future in the next like 5 years or so.
A big Lazy Boy, like Chinese banquet table,
a recliner.
I was thinking
canonical Lazy Boy chair. I'm not talking about Brooke Shields with her buy everything from Lazy Boy commercials.
No, I'm sorry. See, I got it all messed up in my head, and I was thinking Lazy Susan.
Oh, Lazy Susan, yes. The little spinny guy.
Yes. Yeah. Suddenly Susan with
Suddenly
anyway.
Susan.
So
that was her show. I don't even remember what that was about.
But her recliners, I guess we can somehow it all came together. The recliners that aren't from her that your parents purchased. You're exactly.
Well, it was just one. Just my father had one. Mm-hmm. It was green. It was very comfortable. I mean, aside from if you ever fell asleep in one, I mean, really anywhere, but also in Phoenix, it's it's leather, it's hot. You're just gonna sweat and get stuck to it.
Yeah, gross. Was it that 1990s like hunter green leather, green color leather?
Oh yeah, it was like a hunter green, a little puffy. It's the classic Lazy Boy chair that you've seen.
Yeah, and you already have the sports cars that don't work, so you've got that base covered.
One of them is also you know, from, I guess we bought it in 2000, so it doesn't go quite that far back, but it's not that far off from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You remember my car obsession, my ill-advised car obsession?
Do you want me to say the ill-advised car?
No, it's okay. We don't have to do that. But I continue to get emails from the various, you know, websites that aggregate cars, used cars that are for sale around town. And one popped up this morning. It's like, hey, just arrived. It's at the dealership in Gilbert. Reasonable miles and a low price. And I clicked the button. I'm like, hey, what's up? I want to come drive this on Saturday. No. The guy's like, sure, come on in.
Dan.
You know, it's just, I need to at least drive one to get it out of my system. I hope it's terrible. I hope it drives like crap, and I hope it's beat up and ugly looking, so I am not inclined to buy it, but I'm actually going to go drive one on Saturday.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because honestly, I've been, you know, I keep looking at those emails when they arrive, and they're all like, we've got one in New Jersey for twice the price that a reasonable person would pay. It's only got 130,000 miles and 7 owners, and Carfax says it's only been wrecked twice. I was like, get the hell out of here. Stop sending me this crap.
I mean, these are just all red flags about the kind of car that you're interested in.
No, not all of them. Well, it's also because a lot of these cars have been used as sort of driving service cars, but this one is, it's a... 9-year-old car with 50,000 miles on it, which just means that an old person bought it and didn't drive very much.
Yes. You know, it's just one of those things.
Because every time I see somebody in one of these cars that are still driving around, I drive past it, and it's always some, like, 70-year-old guy who looks like he has no idea where he's going.
I like how your aspiration is to have an extremely old person's car or something that would be from a car service.
Yeah, it's because I have an extremely old person back, and I just want to be comfortable. I want to be comfortable, and I want it to be quiet. Those are my requirements.
You just want to drive with a lazy boy.
Exactly. I want a lazy boy in a car. I want a lazy boy with a V8 that gets poor gas mileage. Honestly, and quiet also. It's got to be quiet.
Oh, yeah. This is the important part.
Yeah. Coming from an incredibly small convertible that has multiple holes in the convertible top. It's incredibly loud.
I mean, I would say that a car with a roof probably could also cover some of these sorts of issues without also being a boat that drives on land.
Well, I don't care about the size of it.
Okay.
You know, it is an extremely long car. I don't think it's even as long as, you know, when it was cooler, we would take the dog for a walk. You know, every other house in this neighborhood has a pickup truck that is an inch from the garage, but parked in the driveway, and is so long that it extends basically out into the road. So we have to walk out into the streets to go around these cars. There's a dozen of them in just my little block here, and I hate it so much. And these people who buy these trucks should be, you know, banned from the city. They should have to go live on farms or whatever. But it's not quite that long. I don't think I'll be blocking a sidewalk if I park in the driveway.
That was going to be my next question. Are you getting rid of a car in order to purchase a car, or are you just collecting the cars?
I think I would be murdered in my sleep if I purchased this car and did not get rid of at least one car. because we have a 2-car garage and 3 cars currently, and 4 would make it even more difficult. Especially because, you know, here out in the incredibly dumb suburbs of Ahwatukee, you're not supposed to leave a car parked in the street overnight. That is against the rules.
Yes, because you're in a deed restricted community. My grandparents, they lived in a deed restricted community that had the same thing, you couldn't park on the street, but for some reason there was a loophole of, like, if you drove your car up onto your lawn. And so then you had the incredibly unclassy look of cars that were sort of parallel parked on lawns. I didn't quite understand if that necessarily solved all of the issues that the people in the deed restricted community were trying to solve, because how is that better?
There's some weird loopholes here. Like, I've told you about my insane neighbor who lives next door, who was arrested for having a grow operation in his house 20 years ago or whatever. He's still here. He has 3 nearly identical early 2000s Toyota Tacoma trucks. 3 of them. And one of them has recently begun leaking oil. So it's in the driveway with cardboard underneath it and the bricks to hold the cardboard down so it catches the oil. And I think he got yelled at for that because he cut out his gigantic bougainvillea bush so he could get to his gate, which was completely blocked by this bush, so he could put the truck in his backyard for a couple of days a week. I don't know why. One of his three trucks, of course. But he brings it back out and puts it in the driveway, and then sometimes it's in the backyard. It's very strange. But there's another house when we used to go for the longer walks in one of the other blocks that has one of these, you know, again, it could probably pull a semi-tractor trailer, you know, cargo box thingy-mabob. You know what I'm talking about. It's a gigantic truck, and he parks it horizontally in his driveway. So he's parallel to the street, blocking the entire garage. So if somebody parked in the garage, they couldn't get the car out because he's blocking the entire thing. But he can't park it straight in his driveway because it would be in the road. It's so wide. But like, you walk past this house and there's a truck horizontal in the driveway, and you're just like, well, that seems silly. Mm-hmm. Why did you buy such a large truck? I've never seen such stupidity.
I know, but pretty soon you'll have...
Pretty soon that'll be me.
Yeah, you'll have a car that won't fit in your garage, and you'll have another car, and you'll have Amanda's car.
Yeah, but it'll look classy. I won't look like a dumb idiot redneck with a giant truck.
Uh-huh.
Right. I look like somebody who had money 20 years ago. Now I'm just living off of my, I don't know, my 401k and my Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the look I'm trying to cultivate here.
You're on a fixed somebody income.
Currently retired. Exactly. It's my money and I need cash now or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So which one of the cars are you going to get rid of?
It's going to have to be the Mazda. Like, I mean, as much as I enjoy driving my little go-kart to zip around in to go pick up takeout every now and again, it is not comfortable. My wife does not enjoy riding in it with me. It's the air conditioning only works when you're moving very fast because it has a very small engine, and it can't really keep up with the Arizona heat. And it's very loud because there's holes in the convertible top. And the engine has been rebuilt 3 or 4 times, and it still leaks oil and smells like burning oil. So it's probably good to get rid of that. But it, you know, it's a fun car. It still brings joy to have this little manual transmission go-kart to zip around in and fly around corners and stuff. It's great.
Uh-huh. So your car service boat couch, does it have a manual transmission?
No. Okay. Of course not.
Yeah. Just wondering what the priorities were here. So you're going to be going from super zippy go-kart to laid-back, disengaged driving.
Laid back, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. That really honestly comports better with my my driving style, because I'm sure we've discussed this in high school and in my early years of college. I got a lot of speeding tickets because I very much enjoyed going fast. And at a certain point, it became clear to me that my option was drive on cruise control everywhere you go, or you will be arrested. So I drove on cruise control for years and years and years. Like when I'd get on the highway to go anywhere, I just put it at whatever 68 or something, and I just let it sit there. Like I wasn't worried about, you know, being in a hurry or anything. So I'm fine with being, you know, lackadaisical driving Miss Daisy around here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've been thinking about cars now that, you know, there are more reasons for people to go places in cars.
Now that the prices for all cars have gone way up based on shortages.
It's a perfect time to buy.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect time to buy anything.
Yeah, I don't really think I'll be purchasing anything anytime soon, but it's just something where I was just thinking about it. And to your previous conversation about receiving emails because you looked it up one time, mm-hmm. My fatal mistake was when we were in Florida. I looked at Redfin for the prices to see how wildly, astronomically high everything had gone up in the area. And it had gone up wildly, astronomically high. But then I started getting all the emails about deals of houses coming on the market. I don't want to live in Largo. I don't want to live in, you know, just it's not for me.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean,
think of all the bread and the sandwiches.
Eventually, I am going to have to be in Florida probably for, you know, to help out with people's being in certain stages of their lives. And my other siblings are not reliable, and even though they live in Florida, but I don't really, I'm not really like looking forward to that, because then
I'll
be
sure.
Yeah,
you seem like you're kind of looking a little bit forward to being back in Florida. You're gonna miss your Los Angeles Pompla Rouge or whatever, but you got some Florida in you still.
Yeah, but Florida's not good. No. It's actively bad.
Yes, they're trying very hard to be bad.
Yes, so it's one of those things where it's just like, it's not something I like to think about, that inevitability. But for a lark, it is interesting to look up like, well, what if I lived, you know, here on this, with this pool and blah 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 blah, and sure, it's $1 million or whatever, but it's somewhat of a better situation than what you could get for that same amount of money in Los Angeles.
Can you like sell your current place and like move to, I don't know, like Riverside or something, and then, you know, have two houses?
Why would I move? Oh, no, I don't want to move. Why would I move to Riverside?
Buy a very cheap LA home. I assume things are cheaper at Riverside because he wants to live in Riverside, and then buy a Florida home.
Well, everything's expensive here, in all of the suburbs and areas surrounding it too. Even in Riverside. But
what about Bakersfield? If you go far enough that way, does the price go down?
I think you missed the part where I said I don't want to live anywhere bad. Actively bad.
All right, how far outside, how far towards the edge of LA County can you get before the prices drop?
I don't know. I mean, it would also be a situation of like, well, do you want a condo that you live in here? And like, how often would you realistically be here if you were splitting your time between here and someplace else? Because it's also not inexpensive to fly coast to coast on a regular basis.
Well, I feel like if you had the knowledge that you're stuck in Florida and you hate it and you need to escape, if you had the knowledge that you had a place where you could escape to at any given moment, I feel like that would be a little bit more calming and reassuring than feeling stuck in Florida.
Yeah, but I have a place that you just like go to a hotel or something. Like,
yeah, that's not quite the same as like having like stuff and changes of clothes at a place in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but no.
Can you get an apartment above like a Chinese restaurant or something where, you know, it's like very minimal upkeep?
No. But also it one thing from my many years of living in my apartment and Jason's apartment separately and going back and forth between the two is that it is annoying to maintain a sort of an inventory of things in two different places and to monitor and even do things like get the mail at two different locations. So it is not something I would want to replicate without a good reason.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, well, the reason would be you live in Florida.
Yeah. So. Also, apparently the the motivating factor for some other people is that there's no income tax, state income tax in Florida. There is a slightly higher property tax than in here in California, but no state income. And if you live in California for more than 14 days out of the year, I think is the rule, then you have
14 days.
Yeah, then you have to pay California income tax.
Wow.
At least that was what was recited to me by the person who was very interested in not having to pay income tax. But the
Do you live with Jeff Bezos?
No. but it's just one of those situations where it's just like, yeah, I don't know. It gets really complicated. I don't know. I'm having a bit of a moment in my life where things that are getting a bit complicated just make me want to lay down for a minute, stare at the ceiling, and have some ice water.
Yeah. Drink some water. Stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have some coffee, but then again, definitely stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But are you excited for your upcoming Florida trip?
No. No, I get to go to your hometown, Tampa, Florida, next week.
I am so excited for you to hate it. It's going to be fun.
I would say I'd like live tweet it or whatever, but I'll just text you every time something incredibly annoying happens.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna get a lot of texts because It's a really weird, bad place.
Yeah. I was scrolling through my phone looking for, I don't remember what I was looking for. But I found photos from the last time I was in Florida. You remember I sent you the photos. We went and casually got lunch somewhere, like a little.
Yeah, where was that? Hollywood or Fort Lauderdale or something?
It was, I don't even remember. New Smyrna Beach or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What, something next to that. But there was the cop who put out the spike strip for the SUV that was like driving directly at the restaurant and then swerved mm-hmm. around the spike strip. And then he ran after the SUV with his gun drawn, like right outside the restaurant where we were. That was like our first day there. So I'm looking forward to a lot of similar, you know, expect the unexpected, unless you're expecting just like a lot of CVSs and humidity.
Yeah. Oh, well, you don't just have a lot of CVSs in Florida. You have CVSs and Walgreens.
Yeah, you get the Walgreens. See, I'm a Walgreens guy here. We have both, but Walgreens is the one close to us.
Yeah, they populate them one on every corner, mm-hmm. and they compete against one another. So it's always fun because then you drive past an intersection, and if you're not familiar with the area, you might be like, oh, well, did I just pass this same intersection? And the answer is no. It's just literally just another CVS and another Walgreens and another Starbucks and another Sunoco gas. It's all just
Sunoco.
Yeah.
Florida is really just like a glitch in the matrix, really just built to sort of confuse you. Mm-hmm. Or like the stairs, the illusion stairs from Inception.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, a lot less stairs in Florida. A lot more single-story homes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know. Retirees don't like going upstairs.
It's exactly. You got the retirees, big, big, large, flat state mm-hmm. Where lots of stuff floods. So,
yeah.
You know.
It's a swamp. You do periodically remind people. It's funny, though, whenever you go to places like Tampa or even Orlando or St. Pete or something, and they try to make it look tropical. Be like, ooh, look, we planted birds of paradise over here and stuff. And it's just like, yeah, but this is a swamp.
People do that here, though.
Yeah.
One house out of every 15 has a little bird paradise there. And you're like, that's not going to survive.
Well, the thing is, they survive in Florida. It's just that it's just sort of like pretending that this is, you know, a tropical paradise. It's not Hawaii. it's a swamp.
Yeah. I sent you where I was going to be. Am I like near the airport? Like, am I going to have to commute a lot, or am I just like, can I just get off the plane and just go like straight to the hotel and lay down?
Oh, it's very close to where you're staying. What I don't know is where you're going to be going to do your work stuff during the days. Like, I don't know how that commute's going to go.
Well, it'll surprise you to know that I don't know where I'm going either.
Well, have fun. Check traffic. 275 sucks, so enjoy.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't go to Florida.
No.
I don't want to go a lot of places right mm-hmm. now, but on the list of places I want to go, Florida is so far off the bottom of the list that you can't even see it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's going to be exactly the same as your experience currently in Arizona, but in the 2 weeks that I was there, the mask use that I saw on other people mm-hmm. Declined rapidly. So, you know, I don't even know if they're gonna know what a mask is by the time you get to Florida.
Yeah, the hotel already emailed me the you know, the health and safety protocols that masks are required unless you're vaccinated. So basically, you know, just lie and, you know, don't tell anyone.
I will not surprise you in the least with the fact that in the hotel that we stayed in Orlando, literally no one wore a mask. Nobody stops and checks and asks. It's you're just on the honor system. And
yep, I'll be wearing it on the airplane because I think that's still required. And
yes,
we'll probably be wearing them when we go interview people because it's just sort of a respectful thing to do for people. Mm-hmm. But they won't be wearing masks, which whatever, it's fine. Vaccinated. I'm not terribly worried about all of that these days. You know, things are reopening. People are doing things. Lots of people are getting vaccinated who want to be vaccinated.
It's not
like I'm going to be traveling with any particular person who doesn't enjoy wearing masks and refuses to get vaccinated. Theoretically. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Florida.
Mm, yes.
Let me just make sure I can find some. They have espresso in Florida, right? I'm gonna be addicted by the time I get there.
Yeah. Although, like I said earlier, I would steer you more towards Buddy Brew or some of the other more artisanal places. Kawa is not much better than going to Starbucks, so don't drive out of your way to go to Kawa. I think there's one inside of International Plaza. It's not a special experience, at least at that location. So, you know, you'll have espresso. Whether or not it's like mind-blowing espresso, I can't say.
No, I mean, it can't be any worse than what I'm making here. No. Although,
If you go to La Terracita, they have a complex with three buildings. One is a restaurant. One is like a cafeteria with like a, you know, like those soda fountain like tables or like luncheon diners where they used to have like those just like a long bar top and like stools with you know, the vinyl leatherette or whatever on them.
Yeah, sure.
And the Formica counter. That's what they have in that one. And then the smallest of the buildings is, I think, called the bakery. And that one, they just make coffee and they have pastries like the guava and cheese pastelitos, which are delicious. But you can get a little cafecito there or cortadito or, you know, whatever your heart wants. A lot of people like cafe con leche. I find it a lot of milk. It's a lot of milk. So
I want a big cup of espresso. Put espresso in cup, hand me cup.
Yeah. But the cafecito is a nice little change of pace because it's like, what if you had a really strong, bold, dark roasted espresso, but you basically made it with sugar, and it was so hot that it melted the sugar into almost like having a rich, like caramelly note, with your coffee.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want to have like five of those or anything because that's just a lot of sugar and it's gross, but, it's, you know, just a change of pace. And that's on Christopher Columbus, which is, this will be the most entertaining part, which is Boy Scout Boulevard, which is the Spruce Street exit, which connects to something else that's not Spruce Street. Anyway, so it's a street that changes its name like three times in 5 miles. It's pretty funny to me.
I'm not going to remember any of this. Just going to, you know, look at stuff in my Apple Maps when I get there and then complain about it. And you're going to be like, I told you about this.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't listen.
I fully expect you to just go to some chain, eat some garbage, and then send me a message back. Oh, and
just give me a Cuban sandwich. Give me a flat sandwich with some pickles in it and some mustard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I warned you earlier that not all Cuban sandwiches are made the same.
Yeah, I'm aware. I've had a Cuban sandwich here. It's not not good.
No, and the same is still true in Florida, although I think you have a higher chance of it not being terrible in Florida. But the thing is that if you go someplace that has a good Cuban sandwich and you go back there, you don't have to order a Cuban sandwich again. You can get a pan con lechon, which is just...
Oh, that's your favorite. That's your modified version. Which one's that again?
I mean, I didn't modify it.
But right, it's a modified sandwich that is your favorite sandwich.
It is Cuban bread with the slow roasted garlicky Cuban roasted pork inside of the sandwich, and that's basically your sandwich. And so you get that mojo and the grease from the pork on that bread, and it's delicious.
But does it have mustard and pickles?
I mean, depends on the place that's making it, but because also another thing, some places their Cuban sandwiches will have lettuce and tomato.
Oh God!
Yeah, it can vary.
What would be the point of that?
Some people like it. It's refreshing to have on a sandwich. There was a place that was near our house when we were growing up, called Hugo's, and it doesn't exist anymore. But they did it with lettuce and tomatoes. That was their thing. Although you could order it without. Like La Segunda, they have a cafe on Kennedy Boulevard near where you're staying, not that close, but near. And that one they don't put lettuce and tomato on, but La Terracita will put lettuce and tomato on, I think, by default. So it's just something to be aware of.
Now, is Florida modifications kindly refused culture over there if I say, please don't put lettuce and tomato on my Cuban sandwich?
I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. It's especially if you go to La Terracita, it's not a fancy place. That's not a... Okay. there is no... wait staff that's going to come up to you at the little like lounge countertop and say, we do things a little bit differently here. Like they haven't done anything differently.
One of those places where, you know, everyone claims that they back in 1947, Uncle Joe invented this and it's been on the menu ever since. And we don't modify it because that's, you know, that's what we're known for is this one sandwich. That's a bad version of this other sandwich.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be the case. I've never tried to order the Cuban sandwich at La Terracita without lettuce and tomato, but I think you're going to be fine. Should you choose to go that route. And then, like I said, there's also, you know, if you just want to have breakfast, any place you go that has Cuban food, they're going to have a Cuban toast, which is just the Cuban bread with a lot of butter on it. And it's delicious. And you can get that with a little coffee. It's a good way to start your day. Or you can have a little Cuban bread breakfast sandwich where it's just, you know, eggs and cheese and Cuban bread and a protein of your choice, usually.
I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of either that sandwich or a small pastry and a strong coffee for breakfast.
Yeah.
And some sort of carbonated water beverage.
Yeah. If you get the Cuban pastries, get the guava and cheese. I prefer it over the guava or the cheese. Yeah. It's nice to have the pairing because the guava has a nice sweetness and tartness to it. And the cream cheese has a that you know, creamy, fatty, but also kind of sweet. Going on to that too, so
it's cream cheese.
It's a good counterpoint between the two. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what food you're actually going to be able to eat though.
Yeah. What is it? What is our hotel serve in the lobby?
Yeah,
they have one of those little plates with a little plastic cover over top of it with cookies or something.
Oh man, I hope it's not breakfast included. Maybe it is, but
well, they're at least smart enough to say you know. Housekeeping upon request, whatever. We're not going to just barge our way into your room. Although the last place I went, that didn't work out very well because they barged their way in and put a rollaway bed in the corner that we didn't ask for. So we'll see. But you know, one of the guys I work with, he's got small kids, so he likes to get up early and go find breakfast spots and, you know, go for walks and stuff. Which is, you know, I'm not. It's important that I, you know, I enjoy the strong coffee and. Perhaps with a pastry, but it's also very important that people don't talk to me while I do that. So, yeah, we'll see how this whole thing's going to go.
Yeah.
I fit in very well in New York, to be honest, on our last trip. You know, give me the strong coffee, give me a pastry, but don't talk to me while we're doing that.
Man, how long ago was that New York trip? That was right before the pandemic, right?
Yeah, it was like March 17th or something like that. Man. I forget.
Yeah.
It was the day after the first confirmed case in New York.
Yeah. I think March 17th was my last day in the office. No, my first day of working from home. Yeah.
Oh, if that's a Monday, then it was the week before that or something. I don't remember.
Anyway,
look at my Instagram. There's a picture of me.
It's been a while. As they sing. But when you're in Tampa, you'll.
Oh wow! I just scrolled back. March 10th. Defocus 277 hot dogs.
Oh man, those are the days. Remember we could buy a bunch of hot dogs right before there was a hot dog shortage.
I had hot dogs yesterday, or was it 2 days ago? I don't remember. Time is an illusion.
I had to have a corn dog when I was at Disneyland. Disney World.
Did you get really self-conscious when you ate it?
I started eating it how I normally eat a corn dog, and then I was reprimanded.
You were reprimanded for eating the...
Yeah, I believe the exact words were, what is wrong with you?
that's the proper sentiment.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, I like the corn meal.
Long-time listeners
on the
of
outside.
Defocus who may have missed that Twitter poll, Joe enjoys eating the casing off of the corn dog and then eating just the hot dog on the stick by itself.
Yeah, well, it's not by itself. You put the ketchup on it at that point.
Sure, just a hot dog on a stick with ketchup on it. Yeah. But, you know, just eat some cornbread off of your corn dog. But
the cornbread's the best part
God, you should start your own competitor that just sells cornbread on a stick.
That would be pretty funny. And it could be like, we're vegan and animal friendly.
Well, you could sell cornbread on a stick and hot dog on a stick, so they're separate, and you can mix and match them as needed. Take a bite of one, take a bite of the other. You get to perform the mixing at your own taste.
Well, what I should really do is a kebab where you have a little like cornmeal sphere, like a hush puppy.
Oh, I see. So you alternate. You've got cornbread, hot dog, cornbread, hot dog.
Yes, and not full, long, huge hot dogs. Just like
right, like a little tiny hot dog.
Yeah, yeah. Like a not like a Vienna sausage, like bigger.
Right.
Than
well,
that.
Maybe just cut up hot dogs.
Yeah, or cut up hot dogs, and then you put that on there, and you have like it alternating, so you can just you bite your way through it on the kebab.
You know, that's a good idea. The idea I like a little bit better is, you remember those candy necklaces when we were kids?
Oh, no.
What about an elastic necklace that instead of little cylindrical discs of sugar, it had cornbread and hot dogs?
Well, yeah. That's
like when you would make the necklace out of the pasta tubes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with hot dogs and cornbread.
Yeah. Yeah. What if you had... I don't know. Like, I don't want to. I'm trying to think of different ways to alternate it and still keep that variety, but also not get into a situation where you have like double cornmeal parts or double hot dog. You know, you don't want to like have that situation.
Yeah, you know, I think honestly, I think we're going a little too fancy with our solution here. The proper solution is to do what the Wetzel's Pretzels company did. A while ago.
Oh, just wrap it around?
No. They've had the pretzel wrap around the hot dog for a long time. But after a while, they just sort of, they started making smaller and smaller versions. And they just sort of gave up. And they just put it in a little wax bag and give it to you. And you get this really greasy, soaked bag with little tiny hot dogs wrapped in pretzels. I think we do the same thing. You get a little tiny, greasy wax bag with tiny cornbreads and tiny hot dogs, and you can just pick whichever one you want. It's like when people put the chocolate on top of the popcorn, except the chocolate is hot dogs and the popcorn is cornbread.
Yeah, but I think the problem with a free-floating hot dog is that you need something for holding the hot dog. You don't want to just grip a raw hot dog
I think people would be okay with gripping a raw hot dog. I think you don't want a raw dog. Well, you know what? No. I mean, they're pre-cooked. They're always safe.
Yeah. I don't know.
You can hand out those little cocktail, little spears, little like toothpick things, little plastic guys.
Yeah, well, but what if we did it so it was like a pigs in a blanket, where you had the hot dog sticking out either end, and then the corn meal bread around the middle of it, so that way you get like... You can pick it up and you can bite the hot dog out of the end of it, or you can
so you can pull it out if you wanted just a straight hot dog bite. If you wanted to separate them more easily, it was the end was exposed.
Yes, yeah, you just exposed.
You would feel less shame eating them separately because you're not literally gnawing the cornbread off the outside of a hot dog.
Right, right. You just bite the tip and then you pull it out, and then you have the
it's like crawfish
the hot dog. Yeah. And then you get a tasty little carrying device that you can eat, and there's no waste because there's no stick.
Exactly. Oh, there you go. I like that. Mm-hmm. The utensil is edible.
Yeah.
Now,
so it's like a bread bowl, but
with hot dog. Now, for people who prefer the inverse ratio of cornbread to hot dog, could we like shave a hot dog into a wrapper and wrap that around a cylindrical corn dog or cornbread?
Well, you could make a thinner cornbread, I guess. Like, if you made just sort of like a very flat, like unleavened or partially leavened cornbread.
Like the Eucharist.
Yes, like the Eucharist. or I was going to say like a sopapilla or, like fry bread, I guess.
Sure.
And then you can use that as a wrap or like a pita. You can use that as a wrap around your hot dog, and that way you have a higher hot dog to corn bread ratio.
You know, if the Eucharist was made out of cornbread, I might still be Catholic.
I don't know. Something tells me They'd have a.
I probably wouldn't be Catholic. I'd probably still go though.
Yeah. Well.
Free cornbread treats on Sundays. Come on.
I feel like that's you know a real situation where we want to be careful what you wish for because it could. I just don't see a way in which they're not going to have a freshly baked Eucharist. That's not what they do right now. It's certainly not what they're going to do for the cornbread. So do you want to have
everyone's going, you know, farm to table, housemaid, whatever. Like, I mean, eventually they lose enough patrons. The Catholic Church is going to have to make some changes and bring in some new chefs.
Oh.
Maybe they'll be making fresh cornbread Eucharist in house.
Small plates Eucharist.
Small place. Well, it does come in a pretty small plate. It's gold plated most of the time.
It could be like tapas because you have the you're like here's his blood and then here's his body and you just get like a little, you know, little cup and a little thing to eat.
Look, and while we're at it, let's be honest. Sunday morning, cheap wine. No, let's get rid of that. Let's have espresso and cornbread.
Oh. No, better idea. Sunday morning, you got cheap wine. You know what kind of cheap wine you got? You got Andre or you got Corbel, and then you make. Mimosas. So you have the body and blood of Christ right. as bottomless mimosas and a little corn Eucharist.
You know, I can see this getting out of hand really fast. You're going to have people making Bloody Marys, and they're going to be sticking pickles to like a crown of thorns. This is going to be really bad taste.
Yeah. Man.
The Catholic Church has its dignity, if nothing else.
Oh, if nothing else. So much dignity.
I mean, at least they got decent espresso near the Vatican over there. So, I don't think there's any particular reason they can't serve espresso in church.
I mean, I just don't.
I make the whole place smell better than, you know, book bindings and white paint on plaster. Like, that's what a church smells like to me.
And old carpet.
Yeah. Tea light candles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't
know. Then whatever they put in the thing that they swing around that smells.
Oh yeah,
I always forget what that is called.
Yeah. Incense is what goes in the censer. But I never really goes in the censer. But I never really I don't really think they're gonna lure me back with any kind of unique tasting dining experience. It's not really gonna outweigh some of the negatives.
What if they have a really really nice patio for brunch?
But see, now that we're all vaccinated, we're going to do everything indoors.
Well, I mean, when the weather's nice, though, wouldn't you like to sit out on a patio and enjoy an espresso of Christ and a cornbread Eucharist, and you know, you can watch the priest from afar doing his thing.
Yeah, I'm just. But what I'm getting at here is, I think that the larger population is not going to want to be outdoors for any occasions anymore. I think we're going to see a real heavy swing back into. Everything being indoors. We're going to see more indoor pools now. We're going to see a lot more.
Oh, interesting.
You know, a huge investment in air conditioning infrastructure.
The stubbornness of people is going to swing so far in the other direction of the pendulum that they're going to want to do things indoors that you wouldn't normally do indoors as a rational, sane human being just because they want to really stick it to the man and say, look at me, I'm indoors.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to play squash again.
Squash, you know, yeah. It's been a long time. Oh, you know what? I'm going to bring it all back around. Remember, you know, I... Late 30s, buying the espresso machine, buying the lazy boy.
Mm-hmm.
What's really in my future is a lot of racquetball at an overpriced gym. If I'm being honest with myself, I'm gonna have some white tennis shoes, and some white socks that are a little too high, and some shorts that are a little too short, and I'm gonna be playing racquetball with some friends from work. Maybe
no headband.
Oh, I'll rock a headband.
Okay.
To be honest, when I have to go cut the grass outside because it's 115 degrees and I wear glasses, I get real sweaty and my glasses start to slide off. So I tie a thing around my head to absorb the sweats as I'm working back there.
Oh, well, see, what you need to get are those the sports glasses.
No, those don't work.
Yeah, which have the little things in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Talking about places that don't smell great. Racquetball, gross.
Oh, racquetball's great. But you get one of those courts that's like particularly closed off. It doesn't have the little open back over the back wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to smell like a rotten gym bag.
Yeah, gross. I think that really concludes a lot of things. Yeah. We've given the world a lot of free ideas for our completely indoor hot dog corn meal dining experience / occasional Eucharist cafe parties.
Yeah, we've given some great advice to the Catholic Church about how to revamp themselves for 2021.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to you being miserable next week, and we're gonna just leave it at that.
Yeah, we got coffee, and we're all very okay with becoming our parents.
Yeah, that really is the theme of this episode, isn't it?
You know, as long as we learn from a few of their mistakes, I guess it's, you know, net win.
Just iterating, just moderate incremental improvements.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to put in wood floors, take out the carpet, get some more tasteful wood, or don't get the forest green lazy boy. Get, I don't know. What's in these days? A little bit of a, you know, a lightly saturated brown, like a deep brown, maybe a black. You don't want to go black because that looks too tacky, especially because they get that shiny, terrible leather.
Yeah, well, if you're getting leather, you should probably stick with naturals,
Yeah, brown. Exactly. There you go. But, yeah, like a deep brown, though. Not like the light, like sort of tanned calf hide kind of thing.
Yeah, but you don't want to go for espresso brown because that's not in fashion anymore. That was a mid-2000s thing.
Well, yeah, sure. The color known as espresso, which I don't think they even call things espresso anymore. It's just brown.
Yeah. You know, that's just one of those things, you're going to find yourself waking up in your lazy boy one of these nights, the TV still playing and the, you know, espresso cup in your hand. You're going to be like, uh-oh.
Sounds like a bitchin' Friday night to me. everything's old as new again. People, the kids these days, they love the 90s. So bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to own it in a way that only 90s kids can, because we were there.
Yes. Take that, Gen Z.